Well, back in 1969, the Bee Gees released a song called The First of May. And in the song, the main character reflects on his life and the important things and the important people and events that have given meaning to his life. And in his reflections, he describes in very poetic terms the passage of the years. So he's growing from a very small child to a grown man. So right at the start of the song, he sings, "When I was small and Christmas trees were tall." And then he reflects on the years. But then later in the song, he says, "But now we are tall and Christmas trees are small." So a very poetic way of thinking about the passage of the years and how we grow and how we change and how what seemed enormous to us when we were young seems very small as we get older. And in a sense, I'm actually like that man in the song. I remember very well as a small child standing in front of an enormous Christmas tree, Christmas by Christmas, at our old house. See, in our old house where I grew up, the ceilings were 14 foot high, and some years the Christmas tree literally went all the way to the ceiling. But as I've gotten older, as the years have gone by, the Christmas trees have literally gotten smaller. So I have got somewhat taller, but our Christmas trees have gotten smaller. And in fact, this year, we've got the smallest Christmas tree that we've ever had, So I wasn't quite sure what to make of that when Julie first showed it to me. But like the man in the song, it's really good for us to reflect at Christmas and to reflect on our lives and to reflect on the meaning of Christmas, to consider how and if the meaning of Christmas should impact our lives. But if I think if you were to survey our culture and ask, what's the meaning of Christmas, I think you'd probably get a variety of answers. So some people would say, in fact, some people do say, that Christmas is all about the kids, or that it's all about family. They say, you know, it's the kids that really make Christmas. Without the kids, it wouldn't be the same. You know, the kids get excited with the Christmas lights and the Christmas decorations. They get excited about the appearance of Santa down the street, and they get excited as they count down the sleeps. They get excited about the presents under the tree. So they say, it's the kids that make Christmas. And then, of course, the kids' excitement rubs off on the family, on mum and dad and grandma and grandpa and the aunts and uncles. So, as they say, or many people would say, that Christmas is all about the kids and it's all about family. But others might say that Christmas is actually all about beauty, and especially the beauty of Christmas lights, whether those Christmas lights are on a beautifully decorated tree or whether they're draped over the front of people's verandas. And, of course, sparkling Christmas lights, as we all know, can be very beautiful. You know, I think we've all had that experience, possibly even this last week, of driving around town after dark in the lead-up to Christmas and seeing all the beautiful decorations with lights of all the houses around the district. They really can be breathtaking. But we've also been struck, haven't we, by the beauty of a Christmas tree, a beautifully decorated Christmas tree with all those sparkling lights. And this week just gone, I was at someone's home in the evening, and they had a very beautiful Christmas tree. And as we sat there in the lounge with dusk gathering, the dusk was turning into evening darkness, and I thought we'd have a bit of trouble seeing each other, but as it turned out, we were fine. We could see fine because of the beauty and the light coming from all those beautiful Christmas lights on the Christmas tree. In fact, as the room got darker, it seemed that the Christmas lights just grew in beauty and brightness and vibrancy. In fact, in that room, in the gathering darkness, the darkness could not overcome the brightness of those Christmas lights. So I understand when people say that Christmas is all about beauty, and especially about the beauty of Christmas lights. But others in our culture, as you know, would say that Christmas is all about the presents. It's about the giving and the receiving, especially the receiving of presents. And the big retailers, they love it, don't they? They love it when we think that way. For them, well, basically, it's Christmas. And for others, the highlight of Christmas, perhaps even for you, the highlight for Christmas is the Christmas lunch or the Christmas tea or both. You know, people will say, well, Christmas is all about filling up with good food and good drink and plenty of it. It's about so much good food and so much good drink that you end up absolutely full, so full that you couldn't take another bite. People say Christmas, it's all about fullness, about being absolutely, categorically full. But even in our post-Christendom age, other people in our culture might venture to say that in addition to all those things, that Christmas is somehow about something else, or specifically about someone else. They might say that Christmas is all about God, and specifically about Jesus. And of course, those who say that Christmas is about Jesus, they'd be right. Because Christmas is absolutely about Jesus, as we've been reading earlier on today and as we've been singing. If we're to take the Christian message seriously, then it's clear that at the heart of Christmas is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible passages that we've read today, which talk about that first Christmas, they major on the coming into the world of the Lord Jesus. So the passages we heard from Luke's Gospel give us some of the historical detail of how Jesus coming into the world came about, as well as pointing to the significance of Jesus coming. And the passage from John's Gospel that Sam read to us majors significantly on the reasons that Jesus came. So friends, those in our culture who say that Christmas is about Jesus, they're absolutely right. Christmas is absolutely about Jesus and his coming into the world, about how he came, and more importantly, about why he came. But just backtracking for a tick, in a sense, those who say that Christmas is about children and family, well, they're right as well. Maybe not in the way that they thought, but in a more profound way. And we'll see from John chapter 1 that Christmas is in a very deep way about a certain type of children and about a certain type of family. And Christmas is also about the beauty of Christmas lights, actually about the brilliant, dazzling beauty of a particular Christmas light amidst the threat and danger of darkness. And Christmas is about giving and receiving, especially the receiving of presents. John 1 tells us about the receiving of the most precious Christmas gift of all, and the one who came at the first Christmas to give us that precious gift. And Christmas is, as we'll see, absolutely about being full, about becoming full, not full of too much turkey or plum pudding on Christmas Day, only to be empty again on Boxing Day, but full in a way that we'll never be hungry again. So friends, Christmas is about children and family, and it is about beautiful light, and it is about giving and receiving, and it is about having our appetite satisfied by becoming full. Christmas is absolutely about all these things because Christmas is essentially about the Lord Jesus Christ. So in John 1, as the Apostle John talks about, as Sam read to us, in John 1, the Apostle John talks about what we call the incarnation, the Christian doctrine that in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only true and living God, took on flesh. He took on our flesh, that in Jesus God became man. And as the readings from Luke's Gospel tell us, that happened when Mary, a virgin, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and gave birth to Jesus in Bethlehem. Friends, in the person of Jesus, the only true and living God literally shares our humanity, our flesh. And in John 1, Jesus is referred to in verse 1 as the Word. So the Apostle John's at pains to say that Jesus, the Word, is eternal, that he was with God in the beginning, but not only that he was with God from all eternity, but that Jesus himself has been God from all eternity. So if you look again at verse 1, we read, "The Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus, the eternal Word, is God the Son, the second person of the only triune God. Therefore, because Jesus, the Word, is God, it's perfectly consistent, isn't it, when we read in verse 3 that all things were made through him, all things were made through Jesus, and without him, without Jesus, was not anything made that was made. So the Apostle John could not be clearer. Jesus is much more than a baby in an animal's feed trough. This eternal Word, who is God, who in time took on human flesh, is the Creator God of all things. And we read in Colossians 1 and Hebrews 12, and even later on in John chapter 1, the same thing. And so, friends, because Jesus, God the Son, is God, it's not surprising when we read in verse 4 that in him, in Jesus, was life. Because Jesus, God's Word, is eternal, he simply has life in himself, as Jesus himself says over in chapter 5. In him was life, and he has life in himself. But Jesus also is the original, dazzling, brilliant Christmas light. We read in verse 5, verse 4, that Jesus is the light of men. Or in verse 9, we read that the true light, which gives light to everyone, is Jesus. He's the one, the light, who came into the world. The beautifully luminescent Jesus gave light to everyone. That is, all true enlightenment, all true knowledge, in all spheres of human knowledge, they come from Jesus, who is true God. And that's the case whether people acknowledge him or not. So in this sense, as John the Apostle says, Jesus gives light to everyone. And Jesus came, we read in verse 5, as the light who shines in darkness. And the darkness, we read, has not overcome him. So like that dazzling Christmas tree at my friend's house with all those dazzling Christmas lights, as that tree overcame, that dazzling light overcame the gathering darkness of night, so Jesus, the Lord Jesus, has overcome the darkness of human ignorance and superstition. But more importantly than that, for those with eyes to see, Jesus' light has overcome another darkness. Jesus' light has overcome the darkness of human evil. And the Lord Jesus did that not as a baby in Bethlehem, but on a cross outside Jerusalem. Friends, Jesus, the light of the world, took on our human flesh so that by sharing our flesh and by living a morally perfect life in that flesh, and by shedding sacrificial blood from that flesh, he could pay for human evil, so that he could pay death's penalty, not for his own sin, because he was without sin. No, he paid death's penalty for all who would trust in him. You see, Christmas is about children. The Lord Jesus, who came in flesh at that first Christmas, came to reclaim children for God. In a very real sense, Christmas, Jesus' birth, is just a prelude to Good Friday and to Easter Sunday, when Jesus died and then rose. So Jesus came and lived and died and rose again to reclaim children for God, as we see in verse 12. So Christmas is in truth about children, about children for God, about God's determination to adopt daughters and to adopt sons through his perfect Son, the Lord Jesus. Therefore, Christmas is indeed about family, about God the Father seeking to adopt not just one or two children, but God seeking to adopt many children into his family through his only or unique Son, the eternal Word, the Lord Jesus. And in a sense, that first Christmas was very much all about giving. So God the Father, we read over in chapter 3:16, God the Father gave Jesus the Son for the sake of the world, to save people out of the world and to save people from their sin, and to save people from sin's consequence, which is eternal death. But the giving of a gift, the giving of any gift, is not the whole picture, is it? In a sense, the giving of a gift is not complete, the job's only half done until the gift is received. Which is a tragedy because not everyone who's offered this gift will receive the gift. like is the case with a divorced friend of mine. He used to find that when his kids were little, each Christmas for years he'd send them presents, he'd send them gifts at Christmas time because he never saw them. But then each Christmas, year by year, he'd be heartbroken to find a week or two after Christmas that the presents were returned and they were returned unopened. Friends, as a result of the first Christmas, men and women and boys and girls have the opportunity to receive a magnificent gift, a priceless eternal gift, the gift of life, eternal life through Jesus. But not everyone does, and not everyone did. So we're told in verse 10 and 11 that the world did not know him, that the world did not know the Lord Jesus when he came. We're told that he, the Lord Jesus, came to his own people, but his own people did not receive him. So back in his day when Jesus came and preached and did miraculous signs, many people, especially the religious people, Jesus' own people, the Jews, they did not receive him. And therefore they did not receive the eternal gift of eternal life that he offers. So friends, at Christmas and at any time, a gift is only effective if the person who's offered the gift will receive it. But then some people did receive Jesus' gift. So we look at verse 12 again. We read that to all who did receive Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So some people did receive Jesus, and they did receive life. And just as it was possible to receive Jesus and become God's children back then, so it is today. And in receiving the gift of who is Jesus, you receive eternal life through him. Friends, to believe in Jesus' name, verse 12, is simply to put your trust in the Lord Jesus and in his person. To trust him as a person, to trust him personally. To trust the Lord Jesus as the one who took on flesh for you, who lived the perfect human life that you've never lived, and who died the death for sin that you and that all of us deserve. To believe in Jesus' name is to turn from your sins and to trust in Jesus in this way. It is, verse 13, to be born of God. Or as Jesus himself puts it in chapter 3, it is to be born again. Friends, to trust in Jesus in this way is to be born again into eternal life. And it is the greatest Christmas gift that you could ever wish for. And friends, it is the Christmas gift that you need. So my question to you this morning, gathered here on Christmas morning, is this. Have you been born of God? Have you been born again? Have you, in a very deep and real sense, have you received Jesus? If you haven't, then please let me urge you to not let the sun go down on this Christmas day before you answer that question. Because, friends, this Christmas day, we all need Jesus. By nature, we're all spiritually empty, in spiritual darkness, spiritually dead. But in Jesus, by trusting personally in him, we're made spiritually alive. We're delivered from darkness into spiritual light, and our spiritual emptiness is filled. So if you look at verse 14, a Jesus, the only or the unique Son of God the Father, who took on flesh, is full, we're told. He's full of grace and truth. And Jesus, according to verse 18, has brought grace and truth into the world. The truth that by nature we are under God's judgment and we desperately need saving, but also grace, the loving kindness gift of God that all who truly trust in Jesus, all who truly trust, will indeed be saved for eternal life. So friends, Christmas is indeed about being full, about being filled up, not materially or with food, but to be filled up spiritually, receiving every spiritual blessing that we need through Jesus, through faith in him. John the Apostle puts it this way in verse 16, from Jesus' fullness we have all received, if we're believers, we've all received grace upon grace. So friends, again, Christmas is about Jesus, who is God, Jesus who came to save us. So my question is for you is, has Jesus, the brilliant, pure, bright light of Christmas, has he dawned in your heart, or are you still in darkness? Have you received the only Christmas gift that truly satisfied? Have you received Jesus, and do you have eternal life in his name? This Christmas, have you been filled? Not filled with food, but filled spiritually from the fullness of the Lord Jesus, so that you'll never hunger again. Do you really think that Christmas is just about the kids, that it's simply for children and for others who, by right, gather as your family? Or have you, through the Lord Jesus, found a far greater right? Are you trusting in Jesus? Are you believing in his name? And have you received Jesus' gift? Have you received the right, by Jesus' grace, to become a child of God for eternity?